Well, if there's anybody who knows about apples in Wisconsin, it's Dan Bussey. He's written a 7-volume book, I guess we could say, or books, about their history in the United States and Canada. Larry Mueller here. Great to have Dan back with us again to answer your apple questions. Dan's, I would call him an apple historian, a cider maker. He's the orchardist for the Silverwood Park Heirloom Apple Orchard near Edgerton. And he wrote that, as I mentioned, that 7-volume illustrated history of apples in the United States and Canada. And it is a dandy. And as we talk with Dan, I hope you'll join in, want to hear from you. Do you have heirloom apples on your property? What would you like to know about their history? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Dan Bussey, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It is a pleasure to be here.
How's the season treating your orchard, Silverwood Park?
It's a little different this year. I don't know if the early weather, the wet, and then it got hot, and then it got cold, and it got dry. A lot of apples are dropping early this year, and the crop is a little lighter than usual. I've been hearing that around the state as well.
How many apples, trees, or varieties do you have?
Oh, gosh. I know I'm north of 600 right now. It's probably closer to 7.
That is amazing.
That's a small collection. No.
Small collection. Oh, my goodness me. How do you harvest your apples? Do you machine, hand, or what do you do?
One at a time.
Oh, one at a time. Oh, what's your favorite to eat right now?
Oh, gosh. There's there's so many. One of my favorite apples is an English dessert russet called Lord Hindlip. It's a russeted apple. It just has a wonderful sweet, tart, acid balance. It's an apple that makes me happy to eat it.
Cal in Menominee, Michigan is already online with a question for you. Let's go there. Cal, hello.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. I have a small orchard, nothing like yours. I only got about 20, 25 apple trees. They're about 24 years old. I fertilize them almost every year, and they they're about 8 inches in diameter, so they're really healthy-looking trees and are loaded this year. The problem I have is I have about 4 or 5 of them. The leaves all but fell off, except for the very top. The tree looks dead, but I went out and checked the buds and the stems and everything is still green. And I'm just wondering, and they're not dwarf apples, they're just the regular ones. And I'm just wondering if it's because it got so dry, they dropped through. The apples are still on the tree, though, and they're almost hard to get off. It's like they're stuck on the branches, and you have to really shake them to get them down if you want them down.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of that this year. Early defoliation, early apple drops. In a lot of cases, some trees are still hanging on to theirs. No, the vagaries of the weather certainly are what's causing that. And your tree is not dead. It's definitely gone into a more of an early dormancy.
There you go, Cal. Too bad. For this year, but hopefully things will turn around as we go down the years. Hopefully next year is going to be better. I just to bring up, we're not going to talk about apple disease the whole time here, but I wonder about, Priyanka talked about rapid apple decline in the country.
Yeah.
Is that a problem here?
It can be a problem. Now, the issue with the rapid apple decline is that most orchards now are going to plant their trees on a more of a fruit wall, dwarfed stock, which means it has a fairly shallow root system, and the trees are planted pretty close together. Well, anyways, the shallow root system is a little bit of a problem when you get a dry year. When those trees dry out, they can suffer badly, and that's where some rapid apple decline or sudden apple decline, as they also call it, happens. I've heard of it more and more. I know it happened in Pennsylvania quite a little bit. But and if you irrigate, you probably might be able to get away with that. But this shallow root system is, you are suspect to the vagaries of the weather.
Gretel in Herbster has a question for you. Let's go there. Gretel, hi. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call.
Hi there. Thanks for such a great program. So I'm calling for Herbster, but I'm actually wondering about planting in central Michigan. And in particular, if there are varieties that grow well in wetland areas. We have a lot of wetlands in our house there in central Michigan, and also a lot of deer. So just wondering if you have any advice.
I think you're going to have more problem with the deer than anything else. They're always going to keep you humble.
What about varieties? Are there apple varieties that do better in wetland-type areas?
Well, like the Wolf River. It grew up in blue clay soil on the east bank of the Wolf River, so it was definitely in wet areas. They tolerate wet areas, I think, pretty well. For the most part, unless they're just absolutely waterlogged and saturated. But I think apples will do fine.
And maybe some others as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lots of varieties available, especially in central Michigan. I think the climate there, I know there's a gentleman in Michigan that has at least 1,400 varieties.
Wow.
And he's doing well. I think I'm trying to think exactly where he is, but I think it's close to central Michigan. So lots of possibilities for you.
Gretel, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Let's turn to Joe in Rhinelander. Joe, hello to you.
Hello. I just thought I'd share that a good friend of mine and I make apple cider every year.
Good for you.
We make 80 to 100 gallons a year. And some of it's hard, some of it's regular fresh cider that we freeze. This is a good activity for retired folks.
Ah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And as we didn't really get into it much, but apple cider, I mean, that was the early settlers, and Johnny Appleseed. I think his apples were for cider making.
Yeah. Hard apple cider was a standard in a beverage in the day. I mean, I know different presidents would have a mug of it before they went to office, and I think that would maybe do current residents in the office the same benefit. We'll see about that. But anyways, a lot of times it was safer to drink than the water. So cider was just a standard beverage that everybody consumed, even kids. It was very mildly alcoholic, so it wasn't ever really that strong. But it was a very popular beverage, and we've sort of lost track of that.
Dawn emailed us. They have an apple tree. It's about 25 feet tall, about 20 years old, has three main branches. Would it be possible to trim it back 8 to 10 feet to make the apples more accessible without hurting the tree? They're unsure what variety of apple they have.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of ways to go about it. You never want to cut more than a third of the overall canopy any given year, because otherwise you're going to stress the tree too much. So look at the branches that are mostly vertical. Those are the ones that you probably want to eliminate. Try to encourage horizontal branching. But by pruning, remember that you're going to have to follow up, because as you prune, it's going to invigorate that tree and it's going to send out a whole lot more branches to try to compensate. But yeah, you can bring the height down.
But maybe 20%, did you say?
About 20 to 30% of the canopy.
Yeah.
Not much more than that.
And when would you do it? What time of the year?
Oh, definitely after the worst of the cold weather. If you're making really large cuts, never make them so they're absolutely flat. Otherwise, rain can catch on them. Try to angle them a little bit. But do it, I typically do late February into March after the worst of the cold weather is over. You can introduce some tissue damage into the trunk of the tree by doing that, and it just weakens it overall in the long run.
Have you discovered any new varieties since we last talked?
Well, I've run into a few, and I have sent off some samples to be DNA tested to find out whether they match anything else. This was in the same area that I found, a friend of mine found this apple we've determined to be the Dockham Russet, which came out of Sauk City. And it was planted in a row just down from that tree, and we could tell it was commercial. And it's a really nice apple. I really like it, but I have no idea what it is. So hopefully if we get a match, it'll tell me, but I'm actually looking forward to if it doesn't match anything else. That means I've got to do some hunting and figure out what this thing is.
Oh, man. And the testing is done where?
We can send leaf samples in a test tube that has a desiccant in it off to Washington State University. There's a website called myfruittree.org that you can request samples of test tubes. They will send it to you, and for $50, they will see if it matches anything in their database of several thousand varieties.
Oh, man. Dan Bussey, our guest, he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today as we talk with him about apples in Wisconsin and, well, apples probably anywhere else. He pretty much knows what's going on for sure. And you can join in the conversation. I hope you do. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on WPR News. And then we will be back. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR. Great to have you along today on WPR News, where we talk about all things apples today with Dan Bussey, apple historian and cider maker. He's the orchardist for the Silverwood Park Heirloom Apple Orchard, located near Edgerton, Wisconsin. Dan's the author of the 7-volume, absolutely beautiful, illustrated history of apples in the United States and Canada. As we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Do you visit local apple orchards in your area, or maybe you drive a ways to maybe make a day trip out of getting to an apple orchard or our new ones to get your apple fix? Maybe you want us to ID a type of apple for you. Maybe you have another question. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, and the email address, talk@wpr.org. And speaking of emails, Bill in Oregon, Wisconsin, emailed us and wondering if by any chance you've ever explored the old Donald Farm orchards at what is now Donald Park in Dane County near Mount Vernon. There are at least 3 species scattered along the trails, and they look and taste like cider apples.
Interesting. I'm going to have to check that one out.
You haven't done it yet?
No, I've not been there.
So it's the Donald Park near Mount Vernon. All right. Peter and Blanchard emailed us. Peter's brother had an apple tree which a panel of apple experts were unable to identify, so they named it after Peter's family. Doesn't say the name of the apple now, but probably a Blanchard apple, maybe. When he had to take down the tree, Peter received a graft from it, and they've had it now for 20 years. It's a late ripening apple, but tastes good and seems to be insect resistant. So nice. Far as Peter knows, it's the only existing apple tree of its kind, and it's fun to grow.
That's what we look for, are those rare remnants that still exist, that someone has taken the time because they love it and they keep it around. So I'm just thrilled to know that he got a graft of this and had it planted, and it's doing really well for him.
Yeah, that's great. How do you find it, heirloom apple varieties? Anyway?
Well, it's kind of a tough thing because you don't go looking for heirloom apples in old orchards so much as basically going to old farmsteads, remnant houses that you find. I was just in the Viroqua area a couple of weeks ago and in some of these narrow little valleys. And we were taking a hike, and all of a sudden we found this iron bridge that basically crosses Little Creek. The road wasn't there anymore, but the bridge was. And near it was a collection of about 5 trees, and they were planted. You could tell they were in a row, so you know it was a planted variety, a cultivated variety that someone put there. So those are those things that we look for and love. And we found some good apples there.
And the process of identifying a new variety, I mean, how long does it take? You said earlier you send samples.
Oh, right, sending leaf samples in. It's a slow process. And I sent some samples in earlier this spring, and I'm still waiting. I know it can take maybe 6 to 8 months or longer to get results, but I'm just waiting for that day when I get the news of what it is, if it is something that exists already, or is it something completely different.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What are your favorite orchards? I mean, you got your own orchard, but you visit others around the state. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, I always have to say Sky High is a fun one for me to go to. I love it up there. And you go there on the weekend at this time of year, and it's a madhouse of people there. They have a lot of trees. It was one of the old Wisconsin Horticultural Society experiment stations. And so it's been around a long time. They're located off Highway 12, south of Baraboo, north of Prairie du Sac.
But a good place to visit.
Yeah, it's a nice place to visit. There are so many good orchards. I suggest anyone that's near you, go visit them. See what they've got. See what apples they carry. You know, go a couple of times and you'll see different apples during the season, early ones versus late ones. Get to know what they've got. And that's the fun of it. Some of them carry a lot of the old fashions. Some of them have mostly the new ones, but you don't know until you look.
What are the some of the oldest orchards in the state?
Oh, one of the older orchards I know, I think, is Hauser's, way up in Bayfield. The earliest apples that were planted in Bayfield area were actually in Michigan, Michigan Island, way out there. There was a lighthouse keeper by the name of Roswell Pendergast, and I think he came and he had spare time when he didn't have to be out at night, and he planted an apple orchard there, and he was selling apples into town, and eventually they started planting apple trees in the community, and there's a couple of old remnant trees that are at Hauser's up north of town there.
They're still there.
They're still there.
Oh, man. What is, obviously, they must have had some care, and they must have had the right kind of temperature and conditions to grow it. What are some of the and so that makes it a long-lived tree, but what are some of the common mistakes people make when they try to grow apple trees?
Biggest thing is they plant a tree and they walk away from it, and they don't realize that lots of little things love to come and eat the apple tree and be a problem. Mice and voles are probably the worst problem you're going to have. So I always suggest if you plant an apple tree, find some way to protect the trunk of the tree so it doesn't get girdled. If you can find some metal window screening and just make a little tent around it, that's a really good way to do it. If you have deer problems, well, then you have to worry about putting a little bit bigger fence to try to keep them away. They are pretty wily and So rabbits will eat. Okay, mice get everything below, deer from above, and rabbits get everything in the middle.
What's the best way to grow them? I mean, are seedlings available? For an heirloom? Do you have to propagate from the original? What?
More nurseries are carrying a lot of the heirloom varieties. There's a few specialty ones that do, and then there's others that sell scionwood if you learn how to graft fruit trees, which is really easy to do. There's Maple Valley Orchard Nursery over in Suamico, sells a lot of really interesting varieties of apples, and I think they do a really fabulous job with the cuttings they send out. I worked with him on some projects around UW Oshkosh, grafting trees, Wisconsin varieties for the orchard up there on campus.
Dennis emailed us, when Dennis sees golden delicious apples in grocery stores, people may wonder why that name. Dennis said he's had a real golden delicious apple from a tree. It was golden and delicious.
Yeah, it can actually be. How you grow an apple makes all the difference in the world. Most trees, if they're just naturally grown, they aren't irrigated per se, only just to keep the tree alive initially when it's young. But I think there's a real depth of flavor that irrigation kind of washes out, if it's over-irrigated, I should say. I mean, it's something you have to have. You're selling apples by the pound. You certainly want a nice big apple for people to munch on. But I've seen some semi-dwarf and full-size trees that have that really deep root system that accesses the terroir and the minerals in the soil. And I think the flavor is just that much better on apples like that. But I'm old-fashioned in that regard.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. There's also, there have been some really popular apple varieties that started in a place, and then because of they tasted so darn good, they're growing in other places,
yeah.
And the flavor is just not the same.
No, it isn't. I mean, where they came to be and really popular, it says something about the soil and the climate and everything that just made that apple really good. You take that out of its element and you go someplace else with it, and a lot of times it isn't as good. It just isn't. Well, we should think about apples being more regional than throughout the whole country. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Trying to find the right words.
Esty in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Esty.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for this very interesting show. I have two questions. One is I have only two apple trees in my backyard, but I don't ever want to spray them, and I pay the price, right?
No.
And I wonder what you know about how can I do it without using chemicals? And obviously, from the first part, all these people who grew them 200-300 years ago knew how to do that. So that's question number one. Question number two, again, going back to the first part, Priyanka herself is from the Himalayas, but she was talking just about, old white people growing apples. And I was wondering if there's history of Native Americans growing apples or people from other parts of the world, Latin America, Africa, etc., bringing their own variety, or maybe they don't grow there. I'm interested in knowing about that. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
And I will say that Priyanka does cover that in her book, but we didn't get to it. But go ahead. A couple of questions here. One, growing apples without spraying. And then the question about Native Americans or other groups in other parts of the world who grow apples.
Yeah, you can grow apples without having to spray. I think you need to be vigilant as to dealing with certain hatches of insects at certain times of the year and knowing what's out there. And sometimes, like in Japan, they'll wrap bags around their apples to protect them, and so they don't get. But I haven't sprayed apples in a long time, and I get a majority of my crop that's very clean, very nice. There are those sort of skin funguses like sooty blotch and fly speck, which they look bad. They make your apple kind of smudgy looking, but that's just on the skin. It's superficial, and it doesn't affect the flavor whatsoever. We're so used to everything being absolutely spotless when you go into the store and we see an apple that's got a few blotches, we kind of stay away from it. But they're perfectly fine. Habitat is everything. Having habitat for beneficial insects that prey on the insects that prey on apples gives you balance. And when I worked at the Seed Savers Exchange, we had habitat. And I always thought it was so nice to have so many good apples without really any problems at all. Things happen, but most years, I had a good crop.
Is there a book or something that somebody like Esty could use that goes into that in more depth?
Oh, yeah. The Apple Grower by Michael Phillips, who is a good friend of mine who's now passed away. He wrote a really good book on organic culture about apples, about nutrition made a lot of difference. I think he felt that if the tree was healthy, it tended to ward off insect pests as much as anything else. So that's a good one out there. I think it's still available. I believe Chelsea Green Publishing probably still has it.
And his name again?
Michael Phillips. The Apple Grower.
The Apple Grower. Esty, there you go. Oh, and what about and certainly Priyanka talks about this in the book, about other ethnic.
Oh, ethnic groups always brought stuff with them.
Yeah.
When they settled here in this part of the world. We've got apples from Norway. We've got apples from Italy. We've got apples from Germany that people brought either cuttings of or they managed to get trees on the boat when they brought them over, or they took the seeds of those varieties and planted them, and they came up to be something similar to what the parent was.
Esty, thank you again. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, we'll go to you. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I have a question. I have loved apples all my life, and I used to be able to eat almost anything, but as I've gotten older, my teeth have gotten sensitive, and I can no longer eat tart apples. even sweet tart apples. I need to find sweet apples. And I found one, Ambrosia, and I was wondering if you could give me the names of some other sweet varieties that I might be able to find somewhere.
Ah, there's an old classic heirloom variety called Tolman Sweet that was widely planted all over Wisconsin. And I've seen that in different orchards already this fall. So it's an apple that's around. It's a nice sweet apple.
Tolman?
Tolman Sweet, T-O-L-M-A-N.
Stella, there you go. Thank you for calling. Diane and Cashton, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I have an apple tree that grew in my garden box, and I noticed it in the spring, and I've left it and kind of protected it. It's probably about a foot high now, and it will have to come out of the garden box.
Yeah.
Please tell me how to take care of that.
You want to transplant it to on your property, Diane?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, right now is not a bad time to do some fall transplanting. Dig up as much as you can and get as much of the root as possible. And then you find a spot where you're going to put it. Check that out. Dig that first, and you can sort of condition the soil a little bit if you need to put any amendments, if it's rocky or if it's really sandy or anything like that. But if you can dig as much of a root ball as possible and then place that gently into the hole and water it in really well, and then obviously protect it from critters that will find it otherwise, and you should do fine.
Yeah, you're going to, and spread those roots out. Flay them out. Don't get them in, you don't want them to start circling.
Yeah, and if you can, dig a good size hole, and if you don't have to disturb the root ball, if you can get all of it, you're going to be all right. And a foot tall, your regular spade shovel should contain the entire root system.
Diane, good luck. I hope you have good luck with it. Nancy in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, this is a great day for apple. I have a neighbor's tree has this huge, it's very old, I'm guessing at least 100 or 80 years old. And when the apples all drop, they're way high up, you can't really reach them. And they don't bruise at all. I have picked them for years. I get bucketfuls and I make applesauce with it. And it's sort of crispy. It doesn't have a big taste, but they're really good. And I've never met an apple that didn't rot on the ground. And that's where I get them all, and they're in beautiful shape. Somebody thought they were called Duchess, and I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. This tree is just marvelous, and it's just amazing.
Duchess is an old variety. It's been around a long time. It generally ripens here in the southern part of the state, sort of early-ish September, sort of. It's a little bit earlier season than this. But up in Duluth, I expect it could be a little bit later. If it's a striped apple, I think you definitely have the Duchess. There was an old storage apple called York Imperial that was really popular, and it was a tough apple, and it ripens late, and it's a apple that keeps all winter long without much problem in the root cellar.
What does it look like?
I believe it's been a while since I've seen one, but it's more of a yellow apple, I believe, and I think it has more of a solid blush to it in places. It's not striped as far as I know.
Nancy, what does yours look like? Your apple.
Mine are, they're not real big, but they're not small. They're good palm size. They do have stripes, and they're very sturdy. I just can't believe they don't breathe easily.
It could be Duchess.
I'd love to find one. I'd love to find a Duchess tree, but they're pretty old. So do they even grow them anymore?
Oh, yeah. Duchess is one of my favorite pie apples. I love Duchess for that.
So northern Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, so just right next to Superior.
Yeah, and that's a great place to grow apples.
There should be somebody in your area that's selling Duchess.
Yeah.
I would think. Yeah. So give that a shot, Nancy. Thank you very much for calling. Heidi wondered if you, in an email, if you recommend fertilizing apple trees.
You can fertilize, but don't use much nitrogen. Try to avoid that if possible. You're going to encourage a lot of leafy growth, which is going to make you very susceptible to fire blight, which is a real bad problem. Usually during blossom time, it infects your trees and it will kill your trees overnight. It's that bad.
Delight in Gurnee, Illinois, I believe. We'll go there.
Hi. Gurnee. Gurnee, yeah. Wisconsin.
Oh, Gurnee, Wisconsin.
Gurnee, Wisconsin. Oh. That's up near Lake Superior.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes. We have, we are in the snow belt, so we do get 4 feet of snow, although the last 2 years have been very mild. We have a variety of ages of trees. Some we have four that are 20 years old, and then we have 13 and 8 and even 6 and 3 years old. And we have about 30 trees, and they're not all in the same location on our property, but I'm having trouble getting, if they blossom, I don't receive apples or just a few, maybe two or three. I did call a fertilizer, and I think it was in Michigan, and they said, well, maybe they need calcium. So this is the first year I did spray calcium on the ground underneath their drip vine, but I'm not sure of what to use. I'm afraid to do something to stress them out.
Yeah, and you might be, if you're fertilizing a lot, you may, Dan, you were just talking about not using nitrogen.
Yeah, potassium and phosphorus is fine, but really keep it low on nitrogen. It can cause more problems. Now, putting calcium on is going to be a slow uptake into the tree. A lot of times they'll use foliar applications of calcium. I know that's an issue, I think, with Honeycrisp, that they need a fair bit of calcium. So there are foliar sprays that you can spray on your tree while the leaves are there, and it doesn't hurt anything. But if you're not getting a lot of blossoms, there are issues, of course, with cold weather snaps, and if it gets below 28 degrees when the trees are in bloom, it's going to hurt them pretty bad. Some trees just need every other year to build enough energy back up to be able to produce fruit again. So there are several conditions. They need a lot of light, and that makes a lot of difference, too.
Yeah. Delight, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Somebody wants to know, what's the best apple for making cider? And, you know, one variety, a lot of people use a couple, three varieties.
Oh, at least. I always felt the more varieties you can put in cider, the better flavor, the all-around richness of it. If you're going to stick with a single variety, my favorites are always the russet apples. They have probably a better sugar-acid balance, I've mentioned before, and they ferment down to just a really pleasant cider by themselves. There aren't many single varietals that I think do as good as the russet apples, if you can find those.
What are your thoughts on the apples you find in the local supermarket?
There are some interesting ones. One I've run across recently, it's a Honeycrisp seedling. It's called a sugar bee. And I guess it was developed in Minnesota, and it got, I guess the rights to it got bought out by a consortium, I think, in Washington State, and now they're growing it all over the place. But there's one orchard in southeastern Minnesota that I'm not going to mention because they were a test orchard for it, and they cannot sell it under that name, but they have it, and it's really locally popular, and I like that apple a lot. It's really good.
Do you peel your apples before you use them in a pie or an apple crisp?
I've always peeled mine, but I know people who don't. That's a personal preference. It's fine. Some apples have a real thick skin, and I think I'd have a hard time dealing with that.
Yeah, that's true. It's nice. You kind of get a little different color going.
I'd rather put a red-fleshed apple than you got color.
Yeah. That's a good tip, Dan.
Right. My mother was a home ec teacher, and she taught her sons to bake. Considering our dubious employment or marital prospects, at least we wouldn't starve. So I can make a pretty mean apple pie, and I will always have one that makes a sauce, another one that apples are firm and they'll keep their shape in the slice, and then add a red-fleshed apple to it for color, and you just have the most beautiful thing in the world.
Dan, it's always a pleasure. Yes. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope you'll come back and do it again.
Absolutely.
Dan Bussey, our guest today, he is an orchardist of the Silverwood Park Heirloom Apple Orchard near Edgerton, 600 varieties or so. He's the author of the 7-volume, just wonderfully illustrated, History of Apples in the United States and Canada. Seven volumes. Great to have him with us. Well, we've spent an hour and a half talking about apples. We're going to turn our attention to some whooping cranes next. We got a couple of guests to talk about whooping cranes and avian flu as well. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.